Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Clean sheets all round, my British brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Happy Gilmore and the boys were excellent at Wembley and Paddy Schick scored again. It's Saturday, 19th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
It was a nothing result.
What a platform.
Well, the big takeaway is that it was England's 17th goalless draw at a major tournament. Two more than any other nation. I've always said consistency, build on defence, and clean sheets are important, and you're away.
I think with World Cup 2010 aside, it's never really boring, but apparently it is. Apparently it is boring.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Pete Donaldson, you predicted a draw. Because you're an arrogant Englishman and you didn't think Scotland were going to win.
Well, I thought we'd at least see a goal.
Why'd you underrate Scotland so much?
I don't know, yeah. I just hate everything. Yeah. I hate everyone.
Who did you hate more last night?
I hated the person who hadn't set up the TV in the sports zone in the boat in Birkenstein.
Oh, how was the sports zone?
It was kicking off, let me tell you. I had a lamb couscous.
Did you?
And a couple of pints of Asahi. Yeah. It's a good time was had by all, apart from anyone watching the match. But they hadn't, the television was still in showroom mode. You know the mode that they have when it's in Dixon's or Curry's PC World?
Yes.
Where the television just keeps on telling you how many processor cores the television's got and how many pixels it's got and whether it's got HDMI, ultra surround and stuff like that. But that kept flashing up over the top of the scores.
Brand new telly, probably.
Brand new telly, yeah, they moved it just for that.
So you don't know what the score was?
I don't know what the score is. But I do know that I'm not going to say the television brand. I'm not going to do it.
No, don't.
You shouldn't.
We're Toshiba guys here.
Yeah. We are.
Exactly. But were you, had the whole occasion been ruined for you prior to the match? Because were you offended by seeing a few Scottish willies in London?
Oh, I've really enjoyed the Scottish willies. It really has been. I think
some of the videos doing the rounds.
You know my opinions on the England team, the England supporters.
Some sections of the fans.
Most of them. 99%.
I disagree with that. 99.9%. No, I disagree. But let's
doesn't matter.
Agree to disagree.
But I would very much like an Instagram filter where I, whenever I see like England fans, I just want to put a kilt on them. I'm happy.
Is that right?
They can get up to whatever.
It is, put
a kilt on them, and it's less offensive to me somehow.
Is that what happened with Axl Rose? You used to, in the hot pants, not having. Kilt. Oh, yeah. Hello.
Well, Axl Rose never done anything problematic, has he? What are you having to go in for? Model citizen.
I've never done anything problematic on time.
Yeah, he performed better at Wembley than England did last night.
He would have been getting there now.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Axl Rose is definitely putting a better performance at Wembley than those boys last night for England. Yeah. But I would really like to say, unless it gets, sometimes on this show, it gets forgotten in the maelstrom because we like to have a good time and get carried away with ourselves and all the rest of it. I would like to put it on record right now. Uh-huh. I thought Scotland were excellent. Yeah. And they should be, we should, rather than just focus on how poor we thought England were, we should also focus on the fact that Scotland were pretty good.
Don't worry, Graeme Souness is not at the window.
He just sent me a text.
But John McGinn and players like Gilmore, they just removed our spine, like sub-zero. They just
Scottish midfield was great.
Centre of the pitch, we just get, like, we're having so many problems, and I don't know why Southgate just went, don't pass it into midfield, into the centre of midfield, because they are crossing, they are closing down every single avenue every single England player has. It was brilliant.
Nice little Mortal Kombat reference from Pete there.
Yeah, did you say Sub-Zero?
Sub-Zero.
Yeah, he was the blue one to Scorpion's yellow one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're both similar.
The red one. It was the third one.
He was
red
a secret one. Yeah. There's green, wasn't he? Like Lizard or something.
Sure, if he's
Lizard,
a secret, don't tell it.
Sorry, everyone. Marcus, did you think, because I felt like at half time, I thought, this is fine because there's no way Scotland will be able to keep this up. Because the energy was so high. But they did.
Well,
they did.
Callum McGregor is a complete footballer.
Yes.
He's got everything to his...
But that's the thing, when people say, oh, they're not going to be able to keep that up in terms of the high-intensity pressure or whatever, well, you don't have to. It's not one way of play. That's game management. Scotland managed the game very, very well. And they also know that if you drop off against England and you get in your zones and all the rest of it, you don't let the likes of Sterling run in behind and whatnot, then England are just going to pass the ball to the one fullback, there's nothing on. All right, back to the defence. I mean, let's try the other fullback. No, they seem to have cut off
in the 5 minutes that it took to get over there.
You can see it coming.
But that's all well and good, but that's only because England were moving the ball so slowly.
Well, England lacked intensity. What I honestly think is that in the build-up to this game, I thought, like most people probably thought, that England will win this game. The closer it got to the kickoff, and then on the day, I thought, I think England might struggle here to break them down, and I think this could be a great Scottish performance. And in fact, the way the game panned out, I thought it wouldn't be surprising if Scotland nicked it. It could have gone either way. I genuinely think a draw was a fair result, if you like, if there's such a thing as a fair result. But I think that England, I think that Scotland, when you look and you see all those fans descend on London and the fantastic support they have and the good feeling and all the rest of it, it pushes you forward. It really does give you a lot of momentum, as you say. They're a great testimony to Scotland, the fans, and obviously the players on the pitch. And that builds it nicely. It gives you the impetus and it makes everybody up for it and you snap into tackles and all the rest of it. And people sometimes get a bit, that's a bit old-fashioned, you know, being first to the ball. No, all that's relevant. You can have all the quality, you know. Kante's first to every ball. He's intelligent and he's got all the quality, but he does all that stuff as well.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't playing for Scotland last night.
I don't know. It was either him or McGinn. I can't remember. Yeah. But with England, I thought that perhaps my guess is they've gone too far the other way, because the idea is for the superior side on paper, you sort of think, no, let's not get dragged in, let's not do that, blah, 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 blah. But I think they've gone too far the other way. And actually England thought, oh, okay, let's let Scotland run around a bit and have a few tackles. Our quality, our superiority on paper, I stress, will show. And actually, from the first moment, when was it Dykes went in with Shaw? Sure, yeah. You put one in, it's the old stuff. And what I think England did wrong is they should have approached it as that, lads, this is a Premier League game. Let's approach it like that. And so the only time we've seen this time and time again, they kept bloody, I'm glad we're not going to see Gazza's goal and all that Euro 96 guff for the rest of the tournament. They're going on and on about that. There's been a handful of games between England and Scotland since then. The 99 playoff game when Scotland beat England at Wembley.
England went
2-2 at Hampden when England thought they switched off and the two great free kicks. But the one I saw, which was a friendly at Celtic Park, Hodgson, rare praise for Hodgson's England. Let's get this out of the way quickly. When they faced that game, he was like, right, lads, into every chat. And Strachan said after the game, Scotland was spooked by England, because England sort of did to Scotland what Scotland normally do to England in those games.
Yeah.
And England were way off the tempo, and I thought they completely mismanaged
thing. The first half in Euro 96 wasn't very good.
Yeah, that's right.
England were terrible, but it only took, you know, a bit of poor defending and a cracker goal, and we all remember that bit. But the first half was terrible.
Yeah,
I was just going to say that, Pete, I thought you made some excellent points there, Marcus, and Pete kind of followed up with some as well. I would just say that it's not the first time, and nor will it be the last, that England have had a poor kind of night at the office in the group stage, right? So England have a record of occasionally going to the latter stages of tournaments, mm-hmm. having done that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you don't even need to go that far back. You could say 1990, when the whole group stage mm-hmm. was a bit of a shit show. Mm-hmm. The opening game in Euro 96 was the same. Mm-hmm. Even the opening game in 2018, they nicked it at the end, but it wasn't a great performance. Yeah. But no one really remembers that because of the lateness totally, of the goal, yeah. right? So it's not the end of the world.
No, it's not.
We mustn't go
treat
too
it
far
for what this
it.
Is.
Four points, but, no goals conceded. It's great.
Exactly. They haven't been beaten. They haven't even conceded the goal.
Yeah, everyone is great. No, you're right. I take that.
But to tap into what you're saying, Marcus, and make a kind of follow-up point to that, absolutely, that's spot on. You have to do all those things right. Mm-hmm. But you have to look at that England team that started that game last night, and then you have to look at the players that came on and say none of them, mm-hmm. including Kane, particularly in the form he was on, which he was absolutely dreadful last mm-hmm. night, none of them are that type of player. Mm. They lead by example type players. It's no coincidence that I think it's much more likely that England would have going to put that type of performance in last night without a Maguire and without a Henderson.
Henderson was a missing
because Harry Kane is not that type of leader anyway. And even Roy Keane talked about it before the game. He said, look, there are different ways of leading. It hasn't all got to be the way I used to do
course,
it.
Yeah.
But there have been occasions where he hasn't dug anyone out or shown that we know of. Mm-hmm. So, overall, it was really
so lethargic,
disappointing night,
and the intensity from England wasn't there.
Absolutely, and if I take your point that you said about Scotland, everyone gets into their shape, so it looks like a back five with almost like a four in front at times, and it's difficult for them. We know this because everyone knows this, and it's easier said than done. I appreciate that, but what you've got to do is two things: you've got to move the ball from side to side and try and drag them out of position.
You've got to do it quickly,
and you've got to find one point where one person isn't in his position in time,
and
you exploit that gap.
Exactly,
and England have got the players to do that, and Foden tried to do it a lot.
Yeah.
And the other thing you've got to do, which is what Gilmore did brilliantly, he's brilliant at this, he knows when to up the pace.
Yeah.
He'll take a touch into a space when he needs to. If he wants to up the tempo, he'll go one touch.
Yeah.
He's amazing at dictating the pace. I've only seen him play probably about four times. And he was man of the match, and rightly so. Yeah. And every time I've seen him play, I saw him play for Chelsea against Liverpool, where he was outstanding. He had a little run of games. Played against Everton as well, I think, maybe one other. And on his debut for the Champions League, I think he was man of the match as well. Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic player. And no one in that midfield for England could deal with what he was bringing. Mm. He had that snap and that bite of McGinn. Yeah. McGregor did a bit of everything, as you said, Pete. And Gilmore just dictated the pace. And for all the press and for all the attention, and we mustn't get carried away because it's only one game, but Mount was off doing his thing. All the attention Phillips got after the Croatia game, attention Rice gets. Yeah, fine. They couldn't deal with it.
No.
And that's where the game was won and lost, because the dictating of the pace, that Scotland didn't really seem to be out of control, even though they didn't have an awful lot of the ball.
No, that's right. And I think that Scotland, Clark got his tactics spot on. You know, it was a brave performance, I suppose you could say. But actually, Scotland needed something out of the game. And I think Clark even probably didn't he, after the game? He's like, maybe we could have gone on to win it. But I think that was another point, is about the result and how the game played out. I actually think that Scotland, they're in a bit of a dilemma as the game's going on, because you think, well, hang on, something could drop to us and we could score, because they'd created a few opportunities, they'd had some great efforts on goal, and Pickford was probably England's best player, saved England on a couple of occasions. So they're thinking, but you know, England do have a threat. Let's not be silly here. So England still do have a threat. So what do we do here? Well, I think Scotland probably did the right thing. Just keep playing. Just keep doing what you're doing, and you might get something.
They don't want to be a man caught between two bus stops, Marcus.
Exactly, Peter. That's the last thing you want. Whereas England, I think England, the fear set in a little bit, because I think they all became aware of, if we lose this, this is really bad, this is embarrassing, and it's damning and all the rest of it.
I agree, and that's not pressure that Scotland felt, obviously, because you know, we and I say the royal we as in the media are our own bloody worst enemy. We're the least most useful asset of our entire arsenal is the public consciousness of how we regard England. Like, so Scotland did not let England play. Teams frequently don't let England play, and for a conservative risk-averse manager like Gareth Southgate, you're not going to be rifling the goals in the other situations. And to be honest, Southgate has shown in the past to be quite slow and conservative with his changes. And I think that's what happened yesterday.
Yeah, well,
with such a young team on the field, they don't have that wealth of experience to draw from and to lean back on. So when the changes that need to be made, he was bringing off an interesting player for another interesting player, instead of going, well, we could probably
He didn't change up the system.
No, he didn't change up the system.
But I think that was Southgate, and he said this pretty much in his post-match, was, well, we're in a game here, we're in a fight, and actually one false move, we can lose it. And a loss would be, as I say, really, really quite, quite damning. And so I think he thought, right, long, you know, bigger picture, if we get a point, we're nearly there into the next round. And I know, again, England, you know, got all the games at Wembley, they're the favourites to win the group. You don't want to be always nearly there. I mean, a draw against Czech Republic, England will finish second. Some
people said no one remembers the group stages.
No, it's sure. Well, who remembers Portugal going through with three draws 5 years ago? No, I'm not saying for a moment I think England are going to go and win
Spain
this.
Spain lost their first game in 2010 World Cup.
2010, you know, Italy, sloppy draw against the US in 2006.
Just not the end of the world.
Absolutely. But I stress, by the way, this is not me saying, so this is a good omen, England are going to go and win the tournament. No. But with regards to, you know, they might finish second in the group, people now say, oh, would you rather play second in sort of Spain and Poland's group than second? But let's not worry about that.
Because we won't beat any of them.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's absolutely right. What would you, do you want to lose in? Would it be Copenhagen? Yeah. Do you want to lose at Wembley?
What stadium is Jadon Sancho going to be sitting in the dugout for? Yeah.
Well, but there's a point, Pete. Though that it was a sort of a bit of a, the only real change was Kane off and Rashford on, which I thought was a bit of a funny one. I think taking Kane off,
it was fucking ridiculous. Call it what it was. It was bollocks.
Yeah, because I think what England needed was somebody to try and poach, and Calvert-Lewin looks a bit more likely. And we've spoken about this before, that we say, and I've tried to defend Southgate, but Kane likes runners going on beyond him and blah, 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 blah. That's not happening. None of that's happened. And it's a big decision now for Southgate. I'm not saying, I don't want to go into the, because as you say, Luke, it's one game. You don't want to start going, right, Eight changes and
but
all that.
It does look
stuff.
Like he could do with a bloody rest. He just looks so sluggish.
Pete, I think if you're talking about Kane, if you took the name off the back of his shirt and watch him play the first game and the second game, no fucking way does he start.
Well, I think that's the reason why Grealish is not used in the way people perhaps want him to be used, because how many times is Grealish trying to get forward and all the rest of it, and there's people in that space where he wants to run around in? And people saying this was Grealish's game, and I actually agree with that, because Grealish looks like he just loves playing football. He loves any occasion. You even saw it when it flashed to the bench and he came up on the big screen and people started cheering and he became aware and he had a little smile on his face as if to say, yeah, okay, I'll fancy a bit of this. Whereas all the other
and then he
players.
Passed to a steward.
And then he did.
And you're labelled a prat.
Yeah. Well, he probably thought to himself, I might get it back if I play it to the steward. Anybody else, it'll probably end up at Pickford or something.
Bouncing off him.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But look, Grealish didn't have a great half hour.
No,
but I don't think any England player at that point in the match would have had a good half hour. He draws fouls, he draws defenders, he does pull players away from he's got that focus. And you'd probably say the same about Jadon Sancho, because he comes with a bit of a price tag, a bit of pedigree. Well, people go, fuck, we've really got to concentrate on this guy.
Yeah.
And that creates space for other players.
Totally, yeah. I think I would have taken off maybe Sterling and put on Sancho, because it wasn't working with Sterling. And if you put on Sancho, Sancho is not the same player as Sterling. Obviously, there's similarities in you know, the pace and getting forward or out wide and so on. But I'd have said to Kane, you stay in the box now. You stay there. And if not, well, then bring on Calvert-Lewin and bring on Sancho and try and get...
That's the problem.
But the problem was Scotland at the back were brilliant. They made Kane look ordinary. I know we can say, oh, well, Kane did look ordinary. Well, the defence do have their part to play in that.
Of course.
And they were absolutely brilliant. And McTominay, let's be honest, he doesn't play at the back that much. I know he has done, and he's got experience, so I don't want to do him a disservice. But he was brilliant.
He was. But the problem with Kane doing what he did is it's no good doing that thing that a lot of big, good players who play up front do. You drop in short, you receive the ball, you give it out wide quick, and you spin and you get into the box as quick as you can.
Yeah.
If you can't do that last bit, there's no point doing the first bit because they're thinking, fucking hell, I'm playing up against Harry Kane, who had a season for Spurs that, despite Spurs being poor, he still had a fucking good season.
Yeah.
You look at his numbers, it's probably a bit underrated with how good a season he had. Yeah, exactly. And assists as well.
Yeah.
You know, so... But he wasn't able to do it. And I think you guys have alluded to it a couple of times here, but just to put a kind of finer point on it, if I may, I think you're absolutely right about Grealish. I think it was insane to take Foden off. I think he's full of running. He looked full of energy. He looked the most likely. The problem with Sancho you've got, I think, is that they were playing so deep, Scotland. Yeah, you never know, because all these players that we're talking about are good players and capable of a lot. But I would be looking for a couple of things. I'd be looking for... the ability for England to actually just mix it up.
Yeah.
Just change it.
Well, like, I think that's it, yeah.
If you need to play long for 10 minutes and say to Kane, as you said, stay up there, play long, or bring Calvert-Lewin on, stay up there.
A bit adapt. You're in a fight, it's not working.
They couldn't do it.
Now, what can you do?
And the second point is, I think I would have personally. This is not me being wise after the event. I'm not. I said this to you before, Mark. I'm not criticizing the first 11 mm-hmm. he picked, because you never know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be wise after the event. I've got no problem with the first 11 he picked. Right at halftime, you must have rocks in your head to not be picking Grealish. Mm-hmm. You've got to bring him on mm-hmm. for all the reasons you guys have stated. And the final point I'd like to make very briefly, if I may, is that now don't underestimate the amount of difficult decisions that Gareth Southgate's got to make ahead mm-hmm. of the Czech Republic game, right? Not just because of the path that England may or may not take, but because he's got a almost undroppable forward who's mm-hmm. the captain, who is in no kind of form mm-hmm. and doesn't look anywhere near it. It's not like he's missed a few chances. Yeah. Mm. He looked very, very poor last night. I don't want to be any more disrespectful than that, because I think he's a brilliant player, right? You've got a Czech Republic team who are probably quite underrated.
They are underrated, and they're going well.
An in-form striker who is ruthless, mm-hmm. and you've got a load of players who are pushing to come back in, not just through selection reasons, but for injury reasons. So what does he do with Maguire? What does he do with Henderson? Mm-hmm. A few of his players up front, I know Sterling scored in the first game, but a few of his players in those forward areas mm-hmm. are either not fully fit or they're not firing. So what do you do? Mm-hmm. Because if they get beaten badly by Czech Republic, I don't think they'll get beaten badly, but mm-hmm. they could get beaten. Mm-hmm. You're in a serious danger of the whole thing being a complete damn squib.
I've seen betting organisations putting very long odds on Harry Kane having a direct shot on target. And you're like, well, well, they're not on the target.
We've got to win a penalty, is what you're saying.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, weird.
But I thought England should have had a penalty, by the way. That was over. To me, that was a penalty.
Yeah, okay. It was. Okay. Why didn't they look at that again? If they had looked at it again, I think it was a penalty, but they didn't, so I don't understand why. Mm. It's just weird.
Mm. Yeah. But what does Scotland do against Croatia then? Because Scotland now, it's a great point, but it is only
Croatia look shite.
Well, I don't know, but we'll come on to them in the second half. But Scotland, it's a great point. There's no doubt about that.
Both of them to go through. That'd be great. Of course.
They've given themselves a chance.
They have given themselves a chance. And I think that, I wonder if you said before the tournament, you offered, right, you need to beat Croatia in your last game and you'll go through. I wonder if they'd have... I don't think they would snap your hand off for it, but certainly it would be an enticing offer.
That's one of those questions that at first glance you say, absolutely. But the big question mark over Scotland now, I think, is, and I don't mean this from a kind of superiority complex England point of view. I just mean generally, when you put a performance in like that against in a derby game, always very difficult to raise yourself again.
It is a little
physically or mentally, but they're going to be at home.
Yeah.
They know that if they win, they're going to do something that no Scotland team's ever done before.
That's it. Well,
that's a motivation.
History beckons, really, doesn't it? And I think that normally I would say you're right to raise yourself, but the manner of the performance, you know, all the support they had, they're at home. They've got to manage that pressure now, and the fans have got to play their part in that, and the media up there, because you don't suddenly go, right, come on, we've got to win this. You think to yourself, we've given ourselves a great opportunity here. And
if they got a point in their opening match as well, that would have been
which
was eminently possible, really.
Well, and that's the thing, I think, with Steve Clarke and his side, they tapped into that thinking, right, hang on, we've been totally written off here. And perhaps maybe Scotland got a little bit too wrapped up in the occasion in that game. I don't know. There's no point in going on about that game, because that's past now. And you look at that performance at Wembley. They played it brilliantly. They got it spot on tactically and whatnot. They were set up not to lose and potentially to nick it. Mm. And that nearly played out. Against Croatia, it's a different side, and Croatia need to win as well. So what do they do? But
I would be saying to them, and I would sum this game up last night in a sentence, and I would use it to inform the game against Croatia. I would say, look, if I was from Scotland's point of view, I'd say we grew into this occasion and we made England shrink from it.
Yeah.
If we can do that again against Croatia, who are going to be under pressure themselves, the manager's under pressure, they've been in terrible form, they got to the final 3 years ago. If we can emphasise that again and grow into it again, they'll beat Croatia, because Croatia are nowhere near as good as they were.
No, and he'll also say England's midfield got the better of Croatia's midfield, largely in the 1-0, as in they played it very, very well and played it quite cleverly. Mm. And he'll say, well, look what we did to them. But just the last note, Lyndon Dykes and Che Adams up front, I think Che Adams has got a start against Croatia, you would say.
Yeah.
But the aerial capability of Dykes, again, people can be a bit sniffy. That was a threat. He nearly scored. Rhys James obviously had that one. Might have gone slightly past the post, but still, I'm glad Rhys James was there.
Exactly. I would have preferred
it
in that moment.
Could have got a goal kick there, you nutter.
Well, speaking of headers, and something that wasn't stressed enough, and this is part of the reason that tap into what people were saying earlier about the media being so England focused, which we're probably guilty of as well. John Stones missed an absolute sitter in the early game, and the the coverage seems to have been, oh, you know, when he hit the post, it's unlucky. It's not unlucky. I'll tell you something now. Take it from a very shit centre-back as a kid, right? If you are going up for a corner and you are 7 yards out and no one's marking you and the ball is put right on your forehead and the goalkeeper is in such bad position that half the goal is available to you, don't fucking hit the post.
Yeah.
Fucking put it in.
You know, there's no real point. But you know,
Slabhead puts that in for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Big time. Yeah.
Bigger target.
Big.
Exactly. More pressure per square inch.
Bigger surface area to go.
Yeah. No, less pressure per square inch. Yeah.
We absorb more.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, look, it was a good performance from Scotland, not so much for England, but both are still alive.
They are. What an occasion. I don't think I got out of my seat once.
I loved, you know what? There was
the lamb couscous in the sports on was excellent.
Yeah. Well, I'm pleased about that. There was a great line from Ali McCoist on the commentary.
Oh, I loved it.
Where he said,
I'm about ready to march to Carlisle.
Yeah, that was good. But he also said something along the lines of, he's like, oh my goodness, my emotions are absolutely shot to bits.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. It felt like a line from like Renton's rant at the end of Trainspotting.
I genuinely think that if someone had accidentally left a Scotland shirt with six on the back or whatever, and Souness saw it,
he'd have been out there.
Yeah, he'd have been out there.
He would have done
at 67 or whatever he is, and he would have probably dominated.
They'd probably won. Yeah. They'd probably won. So yes, there we are.
What a great night of football. It's a tournament of football. What it's all about.
Now we can support Scotland without any sort of like sensibilities.
I support Scotland against anyone apart from England.
Yeah.
There we go. Good on them.
Better news though for England is that this September Soccer Aid is obviously happening again, and Sven's going to manage England.
Right, hit the fucking brake button.
If anyone's involved in Soccer Aid, this is a genuine pathetic plea.
We'll do a
Get me involved. But ladies and gentlemen, the big news is he's coming home.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Let's not take the piss here.
I certainly wasn't.
Well, I think you are.
You're going to be tricky with your questions.
Is that Roy in the pub after the game last night?
My favourite bit about that Roy Hodgson bit is when he accuses the guy of saying, if you're going to be tricky with your questions.
Wasn't it John Sitton or somebody once said as well, which is a brilliant way of putting it. He said something like, in a team talk before a game, go out there and enjoy yourself. By all means, enjoy yourself. But enjoy it by being fucking disciplined.
Yeah.
Which is basically saying, don't enjoy yourself.
Love that. Right. Let's have an email jingle from your friend of mine, Chris Roger.
Rody, Ben Jones, I'm an Australian rambler listening to your show, and as a bloke with both English and Scottish ancestry, I was a bit split in my allegiance for the match this morning. A draw suited me well. But after Luke's dig saying us Aussies are less welcome, let me speak on behalf of the entire nation when I say I hope the Czech Republic pull the English's pants down in the next match.
See what you're doing, Luke!
I'll still keep listening, but I will boo Luke at any chance and every chance. I'll point out that England may have won a World Cup and Australia hasn't. But England will never win an Asian Cup, so who's really better? We could be invited, like the Eurovision Song Contest.
We'd mess it up.
Australia in.
I said everyone's welcome, but the Australian list is slightly less welcome than everyone else.
Yeah.
But as a joke.
Yeah.
Because I knew it would get some people's backs up.
Well, it did. Ben Jones, BJ. BJ and the Bear.
Got a lot of love for you, Ben. Thanks for emailing.
Ben's like, especially, we've just done a trade deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need all their help.
We need all the help we can bloody get.
What about this from Blake Hockey? I should probably stress that I'm only ever joking when I say that kind of stuff. I'm very, very grateful for every listener, as we all are.
Elizabeth Truss is crying right now.
I like the Patreon ones more. Everyone else is equal. Blake Hocking's been in touch saying Denzel Dumfries is a solid contender for best name at the Euros, something we were talking about earlier in the week. Blake goes on to say, I quite like the Finnish name Lassie Lapalainen, as it sounds quite nice coming off the
Delicious.
Tongue. Furthermore, the translation is simply that he's from Lapland in the country's far north, but research revealed he was born in Espoo in the far south, some 1,000 kilometres away. If I was a fugitive, I would use that as an alias too.
Steve, not from here.
Yeah. And Winfield Klein. By the way, I mean, if you're called Winfield Klein, I think you're within your rights to email about names.
That's absolutely.
Winfield says the best name of the Euros has to be that of Polish player Puhacz, who, at least according to our commentators, is pronounced literally Poo Hatch.
We've all got one.
Yeah. That's what you refer to your bog as, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, there we are. Shout out footballramble.com for more of that goodness. Yes, we mentioned Croatia and the Czech Republic earlier in the show. They, of course, drew 1-1 at Hampden.
What an atmosphere.
Well,
when the entire country had gone somewhere else.
I was about to say.
Basically, Scotland just left the light on.
Yeah.
Said, keys under the mat.
Yeah. And help myself to an umbrella. Oh, no, it wasn't raining up there.
No, it was nice up there.
It was biblically raining in London.
Crazy.
It was absolute madness. One of the big talking points, probably the talking point of this game, was the penalty decision, Peter. Was it a penalty? It was an elbow to the face.
I don't understand what it was for.
I didn't know what it was for.
He got a massive elbow
in the face. He got an elbow in the face.
But they were both going for it.
Well,
elbow got in face.
Yeah, there was elbow, face, bloody nose. That was the sort of...
Everyone's talking about this decision as being a real kind of like dodgy decision. I'm like, elbow got in face.
It's so funny you guys said it, because I came here today fully prepared to go, look, I'm not really sure what this was for. And just because, and because the...
And blood came out of nose.
But that doesn't mean it's a foul, does it?
No.
Kiefer Moore ends up every game with blood coming out of his face.
Yeah.
But his elbow was a little high and a little... moved it towards the player.
I'm not saying to be honest with you, I was actually undecided about this. If I that's why I'm not the VAR guy. What do you
That's why you should be the VAR guy.
Not sure.
Most of them are like that.
What do you think, ref?
Yeah.
Let me ask this little red fish in my hand.
Yeah.
Outlook cloudy.
Yeah.
Going to VAR, just applied the magic eight ball
yeah.
Taking it. Yeah.
But,
I'm sure it was a penalty. To be honest, I only saw it a couple of times.
Lovren wasn't it? He smashed him in the face. But people are saying, well, come on, it was accidental. How else are you meant to jump? It was one of those ones where you think, clearly didn't mean it. He was a bit unlucky to be on the receiving end of it. But there was a proper big old bit of contact there.
I think if you watch, here's the little litmus test for you. If you watch that challenge with no commentary, you would be confused as to what was happening, because it could have been given for handball for anyone else.
No, but when you see the replay, though, and I understand the replay in slower time, but he did smash him in the face. It's a bit like one of those ones where if a player's running after an attacking player and he accidentally kind of clips him on the back of the heel or something, it's a bit of a nasty one.
Still a foul.
Well, I didn't mean it. I was just running.
You're not going to get yellow.
Just because he's leaping in the air.
Mm. That's why forwards are always told to go across a defender.
Yeah.
But
just because you're leaping in the air, this goes against what most of the pundits were saying, by the way. Most people thought it wasn't a penalty. haunting. To be honest with you, if it was, it's one of those ones. If it's not given, I understand. If it is given, I also
thinking
understand.
About it, it was against Lovren, so I don't want to lose any sleep over it.
Yeah,
they were. What kind of expect, behavior you expect from the self-appointed world's best defender? Is it?
Come on, he's played in the World Cup final.
You give Bent the shit for saying that. You got to give Lovren shit for saying.
I haven't given Bentness anything. I mean, Bentness never said he's the world's best defender.
Right. I'm going to let you have that on a technicality. Okay. Move on.
Technicality.
But listen, listen, as we mentioned earlier, Big Paddy Schick smashed a penalty away. Yeah. He's in great form. We talked about him, Marcus, a little bit on OTC, didn't we? Horncastle used to rave about him, saying he had a lot of ability. I know he had that really good season. Mm-hmm. I think it was in Italy. And he looks like he could punish England.
Oh, yeah.
He looks a bit like he's going to... Southgate will make a decision probably to bring Maguire back. Maguire will get done on the turn by Patrick Schick and we'll lose the game. And it's and that's what's going
to
happen.
And yeah, and there'll be enough of a goal swing for Scotland to finish second and we go out. But I liked, what's his name? Is it Shil Harvey, Czech manager? I think, forgive pronunciation, where he said, I think we'll go through and Schick will score more goals.
Yes! That's the stuff.
That is the stuff.
Yeah, he's in the frame for the golden boat, isn't he?
England can't go through now, can they? They've got 4 points.
It would take a lot, but I think it's still within the realms of possibility that they could finish third. Well, it is possible they could finish third, because I think it's on head-to-head before goal difference.
It is, yeah.
So if Croatia beat Scotland 6-0 and England lost 6-0, the head-to-head against Croatia is better. So I think it would take a Scotland win and an English loss and a bit of a, you know, whatever the goal difference would be between that. So obviously Scotland lost 2-0, England won 1-0. So a goal difference is sort of 3 and however it works out. For England to finish third, and then it would go down to...
How the other teams do.
Exactly, yeah. So we don't want that, just for the maths sake of it.
On this game, it seemed pretty even to me, but I feel like Czech Republic looked like a better team.
Yeah,
you know, they seem like they're well drilled. They know their jobs. They've got a couple of players who can really elevate them. And then I think maybe I'm biased because we've seen them play a bit more. But Sufa and Suchek are good players. Mm-hmm. And you get into a situation which every team wants to have is you've just got Patrick Schick, who as I said, he's had good season in the past. His reputation has been pretty high at points, but he's come into form. Mm. If he's one of these kind of players, who's a streaky goal scorer, you know. What a time to come into form. Yeah, well, quite. I mean, scored the lion's share of his goals at World Cup 90. So it felt to me like Croatia, with a brilliant individual goal from Perisic, he was capable of that. And we see him do it a lot.
They needed something.
The foul was at fault for that, I think, because he sort of crumbled, didn't he?
Well, they did have a great chance when Perisic nodded down. Mm. People saying he should have gone for goal, maybe. But yeah, Croatia in the second half, they turned the screw a bit and got better and probably deserved a point. Mm. But they needed it. They needed a result there. And, you know, they do have some battle-hardy players, as we know.
But they'll take a game against Scotland to go through, won't they?
You would expect.
Yeah.
But they'll be wary of the way Scotland set up. I mean, the thing is, Scotland haven't scored a goal in this tournament yet. That is the monkey on their back, and they're aware of that, and Croatia will be aware of that as well. So Croatia have scored, and you know Scotland don't have a player like Perisic, admittedly. But Croatia, I mean, in the previous 29 games, Croatia have had 28 different starting lineups, so it shows you that they're not quite set on what they're doing.
Yeah, and the recent form has been poor. Do you think then, on reflection, in the position we're in now, that actually outside of Group F, which obviously speaks for itself, the Group D is the hardest group then? Because of how good Scotland have been. Because of...
But you say how good Scotland have been, but they lost 2-0 in their opening game.
But they were good in that game. They just didn't take their chances. I mean, that could have gone either way, that game.
Yeah, I understand.
And Czech Republic have shown themselves to be better than people expect. Well, certainly better than I expected. And Croatia, for all their faults, have been in a World Cup final recently.
I mean, it's difficult to say after two games, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, it's perhaps the most keenly contested.
Just try to make myself feel better, mate.
Well, maybe most keenly contested, you could argue. You know, there's certainly not been that many high-scoring games compared to some of the other ones, you know. And yes, the seeded side, England, need to win to top the group, whereas Czech Republic, just a point would help them top the group, whereas most of the other seeded teams, not all of them have played two games, you know, seem to be doing all right. Other than Ukraine, actually, because they are a seeded side. You can't one can't forget.
I did forget that. So yeah. I apologise to you.
What do you think of UEFA ordering all the plug sockets in Hampden and Wembley to be changed to a European-style two-prong plug?
Didn't see it coming. A victory for those Brussels bureaucrats.
I was going to say, yeah? we need to fight back.
Straighten out the bananas as well,
indeed,
I guess.
Yeah. Gentlemen, let's finish with talking about Sweden against Slovakia. It was just a penalty that decided it. Emil Forsberg on the 77th minute. This was suggested to be the worst game of the tournament by far. I wonder what the neutrals would have thought of the England-Scotland game, though.
The neutrals in the plug? Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, they weren't noticeable by their absence.
Well, yeah, because if you go from three prongs where's your ground?
Exactly.
I don't think that people looking at that game last night who weren't interested in it wouldn't have thought it was that great.
Do you think?
It was like a screensaver.
Do you know what, it reminded me of the Italian headline when England played Ireland in 1990. Mm. And I mean, this is a dig to the Irish by the Italians, by the way. They've misunderstood the situation.
Leave him out of it.
Who?
Leave you out of it. You're just a messenger.
Exactly, yeah.
Dig,
but it reminded me, it was no football, please. We're British. It was quite nice. But Scotland did play some football, just going down memory lane there. So up yours, everybody. Sweden, they've kept 7 clean sheets in the last 8 games.
Yeah.
How about that, people? Are the Swedes going to surprise people? They got to the quarterfinal in the World Cup in 2018, which surprised their own fellow countrymen, I believe.
What time of recording, we should say, because Spain and Poland play later today.
Mm-hmm.
Sweden, they stunk the place out yesterday. I thought that game was shit. but they're top of their group, mate.
Exactly.
Mm. And that's all that matters.
You know, people saying, oh, I'd rather play second in... Well, it could be Spain that finished second in that group.
Yeah. Well,
they can't put the goal in the net.
Listen,
the ball in the net.
Based on what I saw against Sweden, I'm not sure they will come second.
Do you think?
But I think... What I would love to happen
in
the game tonight,
yeah.
No, what I'd love to happen is for Lewandowski to stick one in early,
mm-hmm.
Partly because I picked it as 4 to score, but also because that would really ask the question of Spain.
Good point.
Because with Spain, it all looked bloody lovely to me. Like, yeah. Very nice to look at, you know, but I mean, nothing was really happening.
What if John Stones hadn't hit the post?
Don't
would have been different, wouldn't it?
I'm fuming with him. Absolutely fuming with
him.
Should
be. Seb Larsson made his 131st appearance for Sweden. I knew he was still well captain. That is unbelievable. Captain at 36.
Love
that is phenomenal, isn't it?
131 from that position is a hell of a...
It is a testament
not being
to
keeper.
The man. I'd like to see him hit a free kick. You know, one of those whippers.
He loves a bit of dead ball. The player I've enjoyed, if I'm going to be even-handed about Sweden, it's a country I've visited and I enjoyed it. It seemed like a nice people. I'm going to be positive.
You always go like some sort of ambassador role or something. Whenever you tell that country,
here.
Other than Australia...
I've been to Australia, didn't enjoy it as much.
Hey!
I didn't. What's wrong with that?
You just thinking that they're going to beat us at the World Cup. You're just thinking that the Euros, they can't get to us.
It's because you blended in more in Sweden.
I did a bit, actually.
You know, you're going to tan in Australia.
I was going to say that I've enjoyed watching Alexander Isak play. It's brilliant.
Yeah, so is Gary Lineker. Not that Isak knows who he is.
Yeah, I heard about that.
why would he know?
The Chris Brown brothers.
I was not aware of him. It's an old player working in the studio. He was then told Lineker was top scorer at the 86 World Cup. I wasn't born then, but I have a little bit of knowledge about him.
Yeah.
Oh, you know him now, do you?
Yeah.
Is he the guy...
Ibiza Beach Club.
Yeah, Ibiza guy, yeah.
With all the people.
Women.
Yeah. Women.
Women.
I've been to his bars in Tenerife.
Yeah.
Terrible man.
Yeah.
There we are. Yeah, well done, Sweden. One
top of the group, you can't argue with it.
No, I'm not arguing.
Which games are you looking forward to the most tonight, fellas?
You've got Group F.
Yeah, Spain, Sweden will be good, but you've also got
Portugal, Germany. That's a good one.
Germany,
they don't want to lose. Who wants to lose a football match? But they lost their opening game. They need to do something.
It would be
here.
Great for all concerned if Germany were to beat Portugal.
Yeah.
It would just put the cat amongst the pigeons.
Mm. Cat amongst those pigeons.
Yeah, and I don't think England need to worry about it too much based on what I saw last night. So if England are in a position where they play someone from Group F, they will be beaten.
Yep.
So don't worry about it. Just enjoy it while you can.
Yeah.
Germany beat Portugal. It'll be a really interesting development ahead of, because Germany's final game is against Hungary, who are the weaker team in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So then they could be in a really good position. And then you've got a lot staking on Portugal v France.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love a bit.
I'm waiting for Hartlepool Torquay tomorrow.
So, are you? What's the occasion?
It's the promotion playoff final. They could get back into the league after 15 years.
Big stuff.
Big stuff.
Big stuff. Nothing bigger than that.
No, exactly.
Other than Christian Eriksen's been just discharged from hospital.
Hey.
Good to see. What a rapid turnaround.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess with heart stuff, I mean, what can you necessarily do? He's got one of those kind of heart starting things fitted under his
chest. That's right.
Exactly. I mean, it's had the operation, yeah.
What medical science can do.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Good on him. All the best to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, everybody. If you enjoyed the show, do leave us a review on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. It does help listeners find the show as we charge headfirst through the Euros.
Yeah, and this show isn't as boring as a lot of the other Euro shows.
I've heard a couple.
Other people are doing.
I'm back on tomorrow's show with Jimmy and Petey again.
I'm having a day off. Great stuff.
Yeah. Laura Love, everybody. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, Billy Gilmore. And thank you, everybody. See you soon.
Well, Marcus, I think it was a nothing result.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.